We can understand what you have been taking us through. As long as you know that we are yours, we will get to the understanding and the by-and-by. Thank you for all things. Bless us now as we go to speak your word. In the name of Jesus the Christ, our resurrected Lord, we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Ushers, you may take your seat. Today by telling you a story. After World War I, there was a man who had been in the war and had been sick. He got sick afterwards. And growing up, he was saved in the church, working, doing what he was supposed to do. God pressed on his heart that he needed him to go in ministry and do some special things for him. He did not feel as if he was qualified, so he did not do it. He went on, went in the service, and kept living and doing what he wanted to do. And after the war, all of a sudden, he became ill. Ill for a long time, finally, they gave him up for dead. They ran out of rooms in the hospital and the health centers. So there was this preacher. And they called him and asked him, said, "Do you have room that we can put this young man there?" So "We don't have any room for him." Saying, "He's not going to be here long anyway. He's going to die." The preacher took him and carried him to his house, and they tended him. He lived there for about a couple of months. And there was no change in him. He was just constantly getting worse. And one day, him and the preacher were sitting there, and the preacher was sitting by his bed, and he started talking to the preacher. And he was living his life before the preacher, and the preacher heard him. And he said, "Before I ever went into service, said there was a call on my life. And I felt a call and an urging from God that I was supposed to do something special. But I did not feel as if I was qualified. So I did not pursue it." The preacher asked him a question, said, "Do you feel like that's part of the reason you are where you are today?" He said, "Could very well be." He said, "Well, why don't you just confess that to God and start trying to do what you have with the few days you have left for God?" He confessed his sins to God, and the next morning when the doctor came in, he began to see an improvement in his life. He prayed and told God, made a promise to God, said, I'm going to do what you wanted me to do. And he was healed and he was made well. But when he made that decision to serve God, he had so much pain in his body that the story says he didn't realize what he was doing. Then he had another conversation with the pastor and asked the pastor, said, did I confess to you that there was something I was supposed to do and I was going to do it? He said, yes, you did. He said, but I still can't do it. He said, I still don't feel qualified to do what I'm supposed to do. Yeah, I think you know the story. He progressed and got back to the place where he was. Never did what God would have him to do. Confessed that he was going to do what thus saith the Lord. And then he didn't do what he said he was going to do. Sickness left him and sickness came back. But yet he died. But yet he was saved. And I know you asking me the same question I'm asking myself. Why did I tell you that? Because there just may be somebody in here that God have put something in your heart that you're supposed to do, and you sitting down on your stool to do nothing and you won't do it. Won't lose your salvation, but you're going to miss your blessing. Going to be saved and get to heaven, but you're going to miss your reward. You don't feel like you're qualified to do what thus saith the Lord. My message for today, the parable of the talents. Oh, and one other thing. I wrote this down and I left it up here yesterday because I wanted to use it today so I wouldn't forget it. And it's just a statement I read somewhere this week and it stuck with me. We will make it through this together. You hold me, and I'll hold you. We will make it through this together. You hold me, I will hold you. That's the way we make it through stuff. We got to go in this, through this together. The parable of the talents. If you were to ask me what is the most famous parable that Jesus ever told, I would answer that it is the parable of the prodigal son. If you were to ask me what's the most touching parable that Jesus ever told, I would answer it's the parable of the good shepherd and the lost sheep. If you were to ask me what is the most comforting parable for the helpless, I would answer Lazarus and the rich man. But if you were to ask me what's the most practical parable Jesus ever told, what parable applies more to how we live our lives today and how God acts and reacts to us and how we react to him, I think it would have to be the parable of the talents. In Matthew chapter 25. Verses 14 through 30. Point number one. The Lord went to a far country. He entrusted his goods to his servant. When you read that passage, you find that the Lord, the servant, the owner was going to go on a journey. Was going to leave all that he had massed together and put it in the hands of his servant. He called his own servants to him. Didn't call anybody else's servants to him. He called his own servants to him. He called those people that were his servants that he had purchased and he had bought with his own funds. He called them because they had been in his service for a long time and he felt as if he could trust them. He had been observing them in their everyday walk and the things that they did for him, and he felt as if he could trust them to do what he would do because he had seen them operating before. My question to you that you don't need to answer to me is, will your Lord call you because you are his servant? And he have observed you in your everyday life. And can he depend on you? He called the servants to him and gave each one of them a different portion. Then give all of them the same. Time out. I go to the gym 3 or 4 days a week, and it's basically the same people there every day that you just like church. All of the 5 or 6 of us, or 10 or 12 or 15 or 20 of us, get there early in the morning before 6 o'clock, and we exercise, and there's a general conversation going on between the brothers that's in there. They all are jocks and, you know, athletes and ex-athletes, and they think they know everything. Oh, we think we know everything. But the biggest argument that we have there in the morning that I listen to is, who's the greatest quarterback in the NFL? And it's between two men, Joe Montana and Tom Brady. The biggest argument is that Brady have been to 6 Super Bowls, and Montana have only been to 4. I haven't been in the conversation, but I think if they're having that same conversation in the morning, I'm going to get in the conversation. Because the conversation is that Brady is a better quarterback than Montana because he's been to more Super Bowls. But he haven't won more Super Bowls. Brady have been to 6 Super Bowls. That's what they say. I don't know. I just watch one Super Bowl at a time. But he've only won 4. Montana have only been to 4. But he won all 4. So the brother with the loudest mouth likes Brady. So Brady is the better quarterback because he's been to more Super Bowls. And that didn't hit me until last night when I was looking at this. I said, according to the Bible, that's what I'm going to tell them. That Montana is the better quarterback, although he haven't been as many times. But every time God gave him the chance to win a Super Bowl. God gives you, I'm back on it now. God gives you a talent, according to what you can do. He didn't give all of us the same thing. I watched Brother Derek and Sister Linda play that keyboard over there. God gave them that. And I didn't work on mine like they worked on theirs. I had piano lessons for 2 weeks. And I don't remember whether the teacher was Miss Williams. I don't know whether she stopped teaching me or told me not to come back or what. But I only had it for 2 weeks. But my thing is that God gives us the portion
based upon our own ability. He gives us that. That's why I want you to get this. He gave each one of his servants a different portion. He didn't give them all five. He gave them the portion based upon their ability. So don't you be envious or jealous of somebody else that can do something that you can't do. You just do what you can do and do it to the best of your ability. If the only thing you can do is walk around and pick up paper, be the best picker up of paper that you can be in the world. Don't let somebody else decide that you can't be the best that you can be. You do that according to the portion that God has given you. Don't try to be somebody else. He didn't allow one of them to decide what he would give the other. God gave you the ability that you have. And it may be the same thing that somebody else can do, but it's not what you can do for the Lord. You do what you can do to the best of your ability, and God will reward that. He won't allow somebody else to decide that you haven't done your very best. Do the best that you can. Point number two. The servants treated the Lord's goods differently. They treated what the Lord had given them, each one of them treated it differently. Two of them did an excellent job. Two of them were faithful and diligent. They, as soon as they received what they had been given, they went out and they produced the same amount that they had been given because they didn't let something else decide that they wouldn't do what thus saith the Lord. They did what God would have them to do. They knew that their Lord had trusted them to do what he felt like they could do. And I believe this, y'all, with everything I have to believe, and I have to keep telling myself this, God won't put any more on you than you can bear. And when the load get too heavy for you, remember who you're working for. Remember whose servant you are. I keep telling myself this because I keep asking God, why do I have to keep doing like I'm doing? And he answers me right quick. He said, you're not your own. You were bought with a price. He reminds me that you made a promise to me that you would do whatever I would ask you to do or whatever I put in front of you that I have given you the ability to do. Said, you don't think you can do it. Said, but when you try to stand in your own power, you cannot stand. I sat here yesterday and looked at a young man sitting right over there take his own oldest son all the way to Alabama to bury him. Standing here to preach God's word. I didn't think I was going to be able to do it, but I didn't stand in my own power. I stood because God said for me to do it. And I trusted in him to get me through it. And I got through it. I don't know how I got through it. But I remember one line in a song said, after I got over, I look back and wonder how I got over. See, y'all think I don't be listening to y'all when you're singing. But I might not pick up a one line. But I got that one line. And when God fixes you, you can do what he have for you to do. You won't know that you can do it. But you go trusting in God and not in yourself. You don't worry about whether you're going to be successful or not. You just worry about whether you're going to continue to do the will of God. God, if you give me strength, I'll bring back to you as much as you have given to me. And if I can go over that, I'll go over that, but only if you allow me to within the power of your word. You have to do what thus saith the Lord. He had his servants there. Two of them were successful and faithful to what he had told them to do, but one of them was irresponsible. He did not try. He didn't do what his master knew he could do, what the Lord gave him to do. He took it as soon as he got it and went and buried it in the ground, didn't use it. He sat down on his stool or do nothing. I thought about this. I said, it's one of those people that can do things for God, but every time they need somebody in the church to do it, they ask them to do it and they won't do it. But if you stay after them two or three times and have 10 or 12 other people to come to them and ask them to do it, they will eventually do it. That's sitting down on the stool or do nothing. You don't want to do it. You want to bury your talent. You don't want God to get the glory from what you're doing. You are irresponsible. And can I just tell you, God got them in the church. It's not that they're not saved. They just have not been roused up enough to do what thus saith the Lord. But you got to know that God will provide. He'll make you available to do what he needs for you to do. If you don't want to work for God, don't tell him. Say, Lord, say, just give me another chance and I'll do it. Or then if you tell him that, all you got to do is hang on and get ready for the ride, because you're going to go for a ride and God will take you places that you don't want to go. He'll have you to do things that you don't want to do. But if you promise him that you're going to work for him, you got to be faithful and you got to work for him, because he won't let you sit down and do nothing. There's an itching, there's a yearning that gets down in your soul. You don't know why you can't stay in one place. Don't know why you're never satisfied. I can tell you, if you don't like anything, don't like nobody, I tell you, fall in love with Jesus and then you will love everybody. You just got to do something for this God. Point number three, there's a day of reckoning. The day of reckoning gonna come. After a long time, the master went away, and after a long time, he returned. You know how it is. After you stay gone for a long time, nobody think you're gonna come back. He just gone. He ain't coming back. Something happened to him. Oh, but brothers and sisters, I stopped by to tell you, he's coming back. He's on his way. He was coming for a long time. He was coming ever since Genesis 3 and 15. He said the seed of a woman will come, but he was coming. He didn't come in a short time. He took his time coming. Coming means he's on his way. He's coming again. He left and he said, the angel, as he was ascending into glory on the day of his ascension, he said, just as you see him leave, so shall he return. God said way back in Genesis that his son was coming, and I do believe some of them thought he wasn't coming because they kept looking for him. Don't you worry. You just hold on to the faith. We can get through this together if I hold on to you and you hold on to me. That's saying, God telling me, if you hold on to me, I'm going to hold on to you and you can get through this. Doesn't matter how it seems. Difficult time may come, but the day of reckoning is going to come. After a long time, the Lord is Lord return. And when he returned, he's not going to call those that's not his. He going to only call those that are his servant. And my question to you, will he call your name? Will you be there? Or will you be one of the goats that he tell to depart from me, your workers of iniquity? Will he tell you to go to my right hand and sit down with my father? If you are his servant and you have done what he said for you to do, when the Lord return, there is a great prize at the end of the journey. There is a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, but you got to keep looking for it. And sometimes the pot of gold doesn't look like a pot of gold. May look like a pot of trouble. That's what messes a lot of us up. We think gold need to glitter all the time, but sometimes woman is in a hard-headed husband that just won't do right, but I dare you to stay with him, or could be a misbehaving wife. Just stay with her. Don't leave, because what it says in the word, what God put together, let nobody put asunder. But God, the day of reckoning is coming for everybody. All of us gonna have that day of reckoning. Although the Lord have been away for a long time, he's coming back. He's on his way, and I'm waiting on him to come. He gonna come back. The Lord's return. And I said it yesterday, and it's good again today. I don't know much about the English language, but I know when it has an ED on it, it's done already happened. He returned. The Lord returned. He's coming back. If God said it, that's enough. I got just enough sense to believe what he said, because his word is true. It's been true all this time. It's going to be true now. Point number four, the reward for the work well done. That's in verse 20 and through 23. Well, that was the first servant. He come up. I don't know what kind of servant he was, but according to his record, he did what his master expected him to do. And my question to you, have you done what thus saith the Lord? Have you went to visit those people that talk real bad about you? They were down and out, and you could have helped them. Have you been to see about them? When God pressed them in your mind, you're the first servant. You were given more than anybody else. So you ought to do what thus saith the Lord. The man that got the 5 talents did just what his master wanted him to do. He went and he, in turn, got much as his master gave for him. He got that for his master. The second one did too. But there's work. There's labor. Their labor was 100% of what the master expected them to do. What do you think the master said? Well done. That's in another song, ain't it? Yeah. Yeah. Well done. Because you've done what I expected you to do. And then he told them, said, come on up and enjoy the joy of your Lord. Come up here. Come up here. And see, when you've done well, there's something else for you. There's another reward. Your master in the beginning gave you something to do. But when you come back and you've done what he said for you to do, he's going to reward you. And there's not a one of you in here that's looking at me or that's asleep that don't like rewards. Every one of us like rewards. We like to be, we like to receive stuff. We like to receive stuff. And everybody wants a reward. That's not why they were working, and that's not why you working. You're working because you signed on to work for the Lord. And he left you. He did not leave you here because you look so good. He left you here for you to do something. And the point that I want to get across to all of us is that what God would have you to do might not seem like anything to you. But if God have you to do it, then you need to do it. You need to do it to the glory of God. Because if he puts it in your heart to do it, then you need to do it, because if you don't do it, it won't get done. Yesterday at the repast, I got a chance to eat a slice of chocolate cake. There was 2 slices of chocolate cake there. one of those slices I did not eat. It didn't do me any good. But the other slice, I ate it. Enjoyed it. My point on that is that if I would not have eaten that cake would have still been the cake. It would not have done me any good. But I ate one slice. Some people might have thought I didn't need it, but it was there and I ate it. I did what you're supposed to do to chocolate cake. You're supposed to eat chocolate cake. And that's what I did. And I got a reward. Nobody else don't know what reward I got. I got the reward of enjoying. See, that's what you're going to get when you do what thus saith the Lord. You're going to enjoy, and nobody else might not know you're enjoying it. But you know. And that's what those two servants that did what their master said for them to do. He trusted them. And do you know God's trusting you? I heard you. He's trusting you to tell somebody else, to show somebody else what it's like to live for him. Don't walk around all the time with your lips dragging the ground, with your head hung down. Oh, woe, poor is me. No, God's people are not like that. In the midst of your trouble, if you can throw up both hands and praise the Lord, God's going to bless you for it. The Christians in America are living better than any others because nobody's going to shoot you for coming here today. You don't have to hide and come to serve the Lord. Then point number five is the punishment for work not done. For work not done. There will be a stripping and there will be a separation. The one servant had one talent. Talent in this instance, people, is money. He went, got his shovel, probably at midnight, and dug a hole and buried it in the ground and left it there. And he said in the passage of Scripture, he knew that the master was a hard taskmaster. That he reaped where he had not sown or whether he had not. He gathered stuff that was not his. He was a hard taskmaster. If I knew that in the beginning, why didn't I do better than I did? I should have known that there were going to be repercussions behind if I did not do like I was supposed to do. This servant misunderstood. He thought that his Lord was too demanding on him. I could stay right there a long time. And I don't have to mess with any of y'all. I could stay right with me. Every time you turn around, there's something else that you need to do. Every time before you finish what you're doing, you ought to be someplace else. Before you get all of this out of the way, there's another this ready to take its place. Seem like there's always something else to want your attention. But then again, I personally look at it and say, God, I'm like old man Job. The devil or whatever's coming my way had to come to you first, and then it had to come to me. And I know that he stopped some stuff from getting to me that probably should have gotten to me if it would have been left up to the devil. But you remember, the big one email I told you about, this big Jesus standing up in front of me. all the big stuff, God stopped it from getting to me. And if he stopped it from getting to me, if you his child, he also stopped it from getting to you. See, that's why we don't need to misunderstand what God has for us to do. If a task looks like you can do it, then God probably didn't send it. But if it looks like you cannot do it and you can't conquer it, you don't know which way to go, you don't know what to do, then God probably sent that your way. And I love God, and I'm glad he's like he is. I'm glad he does not have a respect of person, that whatever comes my way, I know that it has gotten by him. If this servant that had this one talent would have gone and invested it in the bank and drawn interest on it, then the master would not have been by him like he was. Didn't say he stopped being his servant, but he just put him a long ways away from him. And one thing that I don't understand how we do stuff, but I look at this, and somebody said in one of the books I was reading to try to get this message together, they said the Lord was Jesus Christ and was Lord God Almighty. But then I go back up to the beginning of it, and he said it's like as a man that's going to a far country. I know if you can take that and say that Jesus was getting them ready for him leaving this earth, but it said it was like a man, and Jesus is just the Son of Man. He's not man, and like and as are similes. It means that he could be a man, but it was not Jesus because he's the Son of Man. He's not man. So, and therefore, when you look at it and when you read it, when it talks about the man, it's all lowercase letters, and in the Bible, lowercase letters for Lord is not Jesus Christ, nor is it God. So it's a man that takes and casts his servant into outer darkness because he didn't do what he said. I just believe that if God put a talent in, or give you something to do, and you don't do it, and then he chastised you for it, then you got a chance to come back and do it again. I believe that God does something for his children. A child of God that's a believer that walks away from God, then he confronts him. He confronts you with what you've done wrong. He try to convert you. No, he doesn't try to convert you. He convicts you of what you're doing is wrong. And then he converts you. And then if that don't help, he reaches down and he snatches his breath away from you because you will be a bad representative of God while you're down here on this earth. See, brothers and sisters, it's dangerous for a child of God to walk out of the will of God. A child of God can shorten their lifetime here on this earth. You will lose your life, but you won't lose your salvation, because what God does, can't nobody undo it but God. God will save you if you allow him to. You can walk away from his will. Brothers and sisters, I'm a firm believer that's why some of us have so many problems in our life. We're not doing what thus saith the Lord. When you get in God's will, it doesn't mean you won't have situations in them, but God will get you through it. The parable of the talents, Jesus is trying to teach us that if we hold on to him, everything will be all right. He's trying to get us to see that he doesn't expect any more out of you than what he put into you. If he put it into you, he expects you to serve him. You just got to stay with him. Don't get discouraged. Don't think that God have left you all by yourself. You can't do something that God have not said for you to do. You may try and it seems like you're being successful, but God will let you run for a long time. He'll do you like somewhere, if you got a dog and you take him out for a walk, he got a choke chain on him. He goes so far and you let him walk. When he gets too far in the street, you just snatch on the choke train, and the choke chain will bring him back. And choke chain on a believer sometimes is trouble in my way. When trouble get in my way and I'm walking away from the will of God, that's a choke chain, y'all. And sometimes he gets you sick on your bed. He gets you on your bed of affliction. You just can't get well. You don't know what's wrong with you, but you walked away from the will of God. And God will provide, but God will also also chastise those as his. Now in the law, you can't discipline nobody else's children but your own. If you see people just keep doing just like they want to do, and they out of the will of God, they might not be God's child. Maybe coming to church, maybe standing up preaching, but he's not doing the will of God. But God will chastise him. He'll bring him down, because just when you think that everything's okay, the bottom will fall out, and then trouble is there. That's when you go away in the outer darkness and you begin the gnashing of teeth. Let me tell you, outer darkness can be when nobody else can seem to reach you, or that can seem to help you in the situation that you're in. You don't see your way out. It's so dark. If you hold your hands up in front of your face, you can't see your hands. But God can light things up. Listen, ain't nothing like making up with your lover. If you're out of the will of God and you want to feel like you're being loved, I can tell you how to do it. Just repent and come back to him. He's waiting on you to come back, but you got to come. See, judgment's going to come on all of those that are not doing the will of God, and on those that are doing the will of God. But the judgment on those that's doing the will of God will be, come on up a little higher. Come on into the joy of the Lord. You're going to get a chance to sit down at the wedding in heaven when everything's all right. Thank you, Lord. I just remembered something that I need to tell you. You remember old man Jonah, that was, God told him to go to Nineveh and preach to the Ninevites. But Jonah had a mind of his own. He went down and took a ship someplace else. Didn't want to go where God had told him to go, because I believe, and in the Bible I think it said, he knew that God was a forgiving God and he would forgive him. But he didn't go, and God took and sent on that same ship that he thought he was running away from God. He was running right to God. God caused a storm to come on the water, and the water messed up the ship, and the ship had to be cast off everything, and Jonah went to sleep. But Jonah went to sleep. Now, let me tell you what I saw in the sleep. I saw you and me when we were out there doing everything that we thought we were big enough to do. We like the man that had been to war. You had been saved, but you're walking away from God. See, that's cast in hell and in outer darkness, but you can come out. Jonah, the Bible said, Jonah, out of the belly of the whale, prayed to God. He thought he was in hell, but God brought him out. He was just there for a short time, but he was there. And see, sometime you do just like Brother Jonah, y'all. You get in a situation, and that's when you know that I need the Lord on my side. Is anybody there? Have anybody ever been there when you thought you had made it on your own, but you got in a situation when you knew you needed the Lord, and you called him? You called him, and he answered your prayer. That's why you're where you are today, because when you were in your pit of hell, you took time out to call him, and when you call him, he'll answer, because he's listening to your words, but he's looking at your heart. Your heart is in a repentant mode, and you're saying, Lord, I need you right now. Will you stop by? I'm down here in the belly of a whale. I'm down here in jail, and Lord, I messed up. I should have been in church, but I wasn't. I was doing everything that I shouldn't have been doing. But Lord, will you stop by? Listen to me. Please, ma'am, and please, sir, don't let what you think you cannot do for the Lord stop you from doing it. This keeps coming up in my mind. If you think or know that you can do it, God might not be in it. He just might not. If you don't think you can do it, walk in faith. believing and trusting God, and he will get you through it. If you can do it yourself, you don't need God. You don't need God. But what we cannot do ourselves, we need him in our lives. Brothers and sisters, the parable of the talents are to teach us that God has something for all of us to do. And don't compare yourself to anyone else. You may just have the one talent, but use that one, whatever it is, to the glory of God. And when you do that, you will get your reward. But don't hide it, because sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so have five or six things that they, talents that they do for God. Just do the one. Just do the one, and God will bless that. A little bit with God is more than a lot without God. Just a little bit. A little bit with God is more than a lot without God. I'm through. Extending the invitation. If you don't know Jesus, if you are not one of his children, then you need to come to him. Don't let somebody else decide that you are not worthy of him saving. Come to him today. He will. No. Not yet. He will save you. But you need to come to him. Don't wait until a more appropriate time. Now is the time to come to him. Don't wait on somebody else. Don't wait till the house is full. Come to Christ just as you are. The word convicts you in your heart that you need to come. You need to come. Might not understand why or how I'm coming, but you need to come. Will you come to Christ today and allow him to save your soul? He will save you. He's waiting on you. Will you come? Will you come? Will you come? God bless you.